ultimate fear. It's the destiny of a Jedi. Your destiny. We're all in this. Till the end. Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Tickets available now.
Hi, I'm your friend Claude, here once again with...
Cousin Adam.
And today's show is entirely about our predictions for Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
What rises? You know, my first guess is that The Rise of Skywalker is going to be Anakin Skywalker, because he's been suspiciously absent except for the burned, charred mask of Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what that even means. One of my first predictions was that they are not going to call themselves Jedi anymore, and they're going to call themselves Skywalkers as like an homage to Luke and the family of Skywalker.
Right.
So, you know, instead of being a Jedi Knight, you're a Skywalker walker. I don't know. But so that was my first guess, was that the new order that's going to rise out of the so-called Jedi Order is going to be the Skywalkers, which is whatever.
I mean, it's not necessarily all that appealing, but it makes a lot of sense logically when, you know, you figure like how they're going to make the name relevant when the whole point of this trilogy of movies is to end the quote-unquote Skywalker saga.
Right.
So, yeah, it seems contradictory on its face.
On its face value. Face value, not very valuable. But I guess we can call this like our hopes slash predictions, because you know, we'll definitely talk about some things that we want to see happen. I think overall, you know, we've kind of agreed that The Force Awakens, although not the best Star Wars movie, was going to put it back on track. Like, it seemed like it was going to go in the right direction after we saw that. The Last Jedi took a giant shit on that. And it was just a horrible cinematic failure in every sense of the word. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, there were some parts in there I liked. But overall, it took a giant shit on it. So, my prediction either is it's going to continue to take a shit on it, yeah, and we're going to hate it. Or, in some way, it's going to redeem it. I don't know. Now, I don't think it's going to fully redeem it, but it'll at least wrap it up to a point where, you know, it's not the Sopranos ending where the screen cuts to black and we don't know what happened. So... Avoid yeah, that. Keep David Chase off this project, please.
Ray's just sitting at a table. And
the door to the diner opens, playing Don't Stop Believin', and then black. Now, actually, no, we're not going to talk about that. We'll talk about that some other time. But so I have an opinion about that, too. But so, like, what's... Okay, let's just kind of spitball for a little bit. Like, what's something that you want to see happen in this movie?
I guess I would just like to see something done... First and foremost, especially since the word Skywalker is figuring so prominently now, I'd like to see something done to improve the way Luke comes off in The Last Jedi.
Yes.
It seems like a tall order, but that's probably my main gripe. And that's probably, you know, because Luke is the central character. He's the protagonist. He's the fucking guy. All of us little boys at the time when the original trilogy were out, and in its immediate aftermath, we're role-playing as and wanted to be, he's the guy. And right, that movie made him into a chump and then killed him.
Yeah, you know? He was kind of a schlub in that. Well, you know, I think that was one of, you know, Mark Hamill's criticisms before they made him shut up about it, was that, yeah, this is not Luke Skywalker. I mean, you're talking about the dude that had so much faith that there was some shred of goodness in his father, that he basically stood up in front of the Emperor, said, fuck you, I'm not going to be like you, and threw his lightsaber away.
Right.
All in the hope that his father was going to back his ass up, you know, and he did. And to turn that courageous character into what they turned him into was just a freaking mockery of the whole thing. I mean, they could have made him... do the same thing, just not say, oh, he went into exile and he was just going to die. I think what would have been a better arc for him was to be, I screwed this up somehow. Perhaps I'm doing something wrong. Let's find the original temple.
Right. Yeah, go on a mission.
The original teachings and find out what we're doing wrong. Which I thought they were going to do that, because he even said when you got the teaser trailer for The Last Jedi, it was like, the catch-all phrase at the end of the trailer was, it's time for the Jedi to end.
Yeah.
And I think they were alluding to this, that they've been doing it wrong, you know, and I'll actually get into this a little bit after, but we're not talking about The Last Jedi. I know, but you know, I know what you're saying. Like, you know, you want some kind of, you want him to basically redeem himself.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot. Yeah.
Better, leave him in a better light. I want a better taste in my mouth for Luke.
Yeah, better taste in my mouth.
I don't want it to taste like that green milk shit he was fucking taking from that space elephant.
Yeah, the space elephant. That was like curdled. What kind of animal, like, just lactates rotten milk to begin with, right? Well, you know, a lot of people look at him and say that, you know, he did redeem himself, so to speak, in the movie because he saved the Resistance at the end.
Yeah,
but it was kind of cheap because he wasn't even really there. But you're right. Yeah, I want that too. I do want to see something for the character overall, not like an action he does, but something
right.
that like puts
his,
it together.
His overall story.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they're going to do this thing where he's going to be like, actually, Rey, I told you I was an exile, but I was doing this, you know,
right.
and I was just, it was a test for you. But they didn't, like the way they filmed it, though, I don't think they can do that because the way that it was filmed in The Last Jedi, I mean, he looked like he was just done, you know.
Right.
Sadly, but that's a good, you're right. I think that's something that a lot of people are looking for, especially like the old fanboys. So yeah, I guess like what I really want to see is I want to see the collective galaxy get their heads out of their asses and just tell these like fascist dictators that constantly want to take over the galaxy to shut up and go away. Which
yeah.
was surprising that they decided to go this route because you would think that, you know, from the original trilogy, this galaxy is like, wow, we just had a civil war where this ruthless dictator took over, you know, in the guise of doing something good for the whole. And they're just like, we don't, like, if the First Order showed up, they'd be like, no, go away. And you know what I mean? Like, you just kind of felt like there would have been more,
yeah.
excuse me for using the word resistance to it. Because there is a resistance, but it's not very good, apparently.
Right.
You know, I just kind of want to see some sort of closure where this galaxy just stops having to freaking go to war all the time.
Right.
You know, and like, I mean, like we've talked about this before on previous podcasts, you know, the scope of this, you know, fictional galaxy has gotten way out of hand, like
right.
with the size of it and everything. I mean, in the freaking Attack of the Clones, it says thousands of systems have joined the Separatists, like
yep.
thousands, and there's still enough to have thousands left over
right.
to fight them. So it's like, there's just thousands upon thousands of planets in this galaxy. Like that's way out of hand.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I kind of want to see some sort of closure in these like citizens are just, I mean, it kind of looks like maybe that will happen with what we've seen in the trailer. You know, there's this huge fleet against this huge fleet where I think all these people are just going to come out of the woodworks and say, oh, we've had enough.
Right.
But that kind of ties into a prediction that I have as well. If you'll excuse me, I'll keep going. they're going to start tying in a lot of these cartoons that they've been doing. You know, the Rebels cartoon, they had a 2-season,
yeah.
Show called The Resistance, which takes place, I don't know if it takes place before The Force Awakens or after. I haven't really seen it, so I don't know, but it looks like they're going to start using these characters like in a live action movie, because like the ship, the Ghost, shows up again in this trailer. The Ghost is the ship in Rebels, that's run by Harrison Dula, who's a Twi'lek. She's actually been referenced in movies too, in Rogue One. If you're paying attention to catch the Easter egg, they say on the loudspeaker in the hangar as they're walking out that, you know, General Syndulla, please report to whatever. So she's there. And then in the end, when the fleet goes to Scarif, you see the Ghost again, which is her ship, briefly in one of the shots when they come out of hyperspace and they're forming up to go to battle.
Right.
So that those characters are part of this in the live action. You just don't see them as people because, of course, they're cartoons.
Yeah.
Not to do any spoilers, but Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character is dead. He actually dies. His name is Kanan Jarrus. He was a Padawan for Order 66. He turned into a bounty hunter.
Right.
He's dead. And the Ezra Bridger, who is the Jedi they're training in the Rebels, it mysteriously disappears with Grand Admiral Thrawn by these weird space creatures that can go through hyperspace, which is kind of weird for Star Wars too, but sorry, it's canon now, so you gotta deal with
yeah.
it. But actually, I've been reading the Thrawn books, and I'm wondering if he's gonna somehow tie into it as well, because in these books, he comes from a race called the Chiss, and they live like kind of in the unknown regions. Like there isn't really a lot of contact with them with the Republic, but he ends up, you know, befriending the Emperor, and then he rises through the ranks of being an admiral, but he disappears. And in these books, they're talking about how they are fighting these aliens called the Grisks, who are hell-bent on taking over the galaxy and challenging the Empire, but of course that never shows up in any of the movies, so I'm wondering if this somehow ties into it as well. So my prediction is a lot of these books and cartoons and things, we're actually going to see some of it play out in this movie, hopefully with some live action. And one of the biggest missing pieces is Ahsoka Tano, who is Anakin's Padawan during the Clone Wars.
Right. Talking about the scope of the, not only like how widespread in the galaxy or whatever that everything plays out, but you know, like you had said originally, the fact that they were able to, the threat comes from, you know, basically a different version of the Empire just reforming, you know, a couple decades later after they just defeated it. And I think that was probably the biggest mistake of The Force Awakens, is that, you know, I think we all expected them to go to that well again, but I think for me it was more of the struggle is going to be to stop them from reforming, or to, you know, to like to cut it off before it gets to the point where they have another Death Star type weapon or another fucking, you know, army in uniforms and all that stuff,
right?
In such a structure. But they didn't, you know, they're just fully formed again. And it's like, I think the more compelling story is, you know, how do these people fight against that from happening? But now it's how do they, you know, take it down again?
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with you.
Weird.
Long way to say I agree.
No, yeah, no. Well, that makes sense. You know, like I said, like, why are people letting this happen, letting these things happen?
Yeah.
And one of the, it's not canon anymore. It's Legends. I think, when they started writing the books that were going to be the sequels, you know, there was the Grand Admiral Thrawn trilogy by Timothy Zahn kicked it off, but they started doing all these like novels that started to take place like 10, 20, 30 years after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Basically the galaxy was attacked by this weird race, of aliens that decimated the whole place.
Yeah.
And it was revealed that the Emperor knew this threat, and the whole reason why he was building up the Empire and this military was to fight these people. So it was a bullshit cop out for me, mm-hmm. to say, oh, the Empire was right the whole time. That's stupid. Which is why I don't like the Legends that got way out of hand, just like the prequels did with the scope of things, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I don't know if that this whole thing with like the Emperor showing up in this huge fleet of Star Destroyer, I'm wondering, like, is this like misdirection? Kind of like the Dark Rey character you see, like,
right.
Which I think is obvious misdirection. And it's, of course, it's been played out so many times. Like, she's got to fight like the dark side of herself or something. Or
yeah.
She's having a vision of like what's going to happen if she does this. She's going to turn bad. I don't think Rey's going to go bad. It's first of all, completely erases the narrative of this like girl power thing that's going on with Disney right now, you know, with like,
and they spent two movies on,
yeah, they spent two movies making this Mary Sue, and I'm sorry, she's turned into a Mary Sue because she has not failed at anything yet. It's just like, what did she fail at? Finding out who her parents were? It's like, it's insignificant to the movie unless her parents are Obi-Wan Kenobi, or right. She's a clone of the Emperor, or it's Luke's illegitimate child. You know, and that's the only reason why her parents make sense. So I don't know what they're going to throw out with that. I don't even have any prediction who her parents are going to be. Like we've talked about before, I just wish Rey would just be Rey. You know, someone new that doesn't have any connection with anybody.
Right.
She just happens to be a powerful person. But yeah, you know, I mean, she's someone who can wield a lightsaber and use the Force with no training, and then, like I said, doesn't fail. Like, they're not going to throw that away at
right.
this point.
Has,
you know,
yeah.
She's not going to turn bad. So that's my prediction. That's just a vision when you see her. And then, I mean, they show so many freaking scenes of her fighting Kylo Ren again. You know, they're probably going to make him turn good at the last second, like they did Darth Vader and turn
right.
on the Emperor or something. I don't know. But
too bad he did it after fucking, you know, killing his father and
right
almost killing his mother and whatever.
Well, you know, that's, you know, to me, I think following that line for Kylo Ren was good, where he kind of worships his grandfather Darth Vader,
right,
without understanding how complex his grandfather was. I mean, as much as the prequel sucked, it kind of does give you a very layered Anakin Skywalker. You know, he sees the error of the Jedi, and you know, in pursuing his love and stuff like that, kind of messed him. You know, I mean, we don't have to get into a critical evaluation of that, but he turned bad. But he turned bad for almost like the right reasons, you know what I mean? Which is kind of a weird thing to say, who eventually redeems himself. So he should realize, I mean, that's the fault of Kylo Ren is worshiping this dark character of Darth Vader when it turns out he was just a flawed, you know, person like anybody else. And he, I mean, in Empire Strikes Back, he tells Luke, join me, we'll destroy the Emperor. He hates the Emperor.
Right.
Like, he does not like the Emperor, and, like, he's not, like, his buddy. Like, he wants to kill him, and he finally gets the opportunity to, because the Emperor duped him, basically, into becoming Darth Vader. So, I mean, I think he, you know, and I think that's where a lot of Kylo Ren's conflict should come from, and it kind of seems like he is like that as a character, too, you know? They even confirmed that in The Force Awakens, he was almost ready to go back with Han Solo until he realized it was too late and he killed him. Like, it wasn't like J.J. Abrams said, like, you know, that wasn't like a misdirection or a ruse. Like, he really is conflicted at that moment. So, you know, there's still some of that inner turmoil in him, too.
Yeah.
You know, as much as the rage. And, you know, you see how he hesitates to kill his own mother, you know, in The Last Jedi. So I think that they had the right idea, but it's kind of just pilfered out at this point, you know. So
yeah,
you know, maybe Anakin shows up like, hey, buddy, hey, grandson, no, you're wrong. Like, stop it.
Sorry it took me so long to get here, but I'm here now.
Oh, geez, I've been just doing stuff and looking for Padme, and they're like, who's Padme?
I have a prediction that I don't want to happen that I think will, and a prediction that I do want to happen that I think won't.
Okay. That's probably how it usually goes anyway. So.
Right. So the one that I'm pretty sure is probably going to happen in some form, I kind of don't want to, is I feel like it's got to be the end of the line for C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I mean, what he says, like, I'm taking one last look at my friend.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be turned into some, like, murder, death, kill machine, you know, like that Demolition Man reference.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, yeah, because, you know, you see the scene where he gets, like, red eyes, but his action figure, he's got a bandolier and, like, a weapon. Like,
yeah, I just saw that today.
That's weird, you know? Like, yeah, so he's going on, like, a suicide mission or something.
Yeah.
You know, when you're done explaining this, I'll tell you something I heard about R2-D2 as well, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much more knowledge than that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, they, like you said, they like to put little misdirection things in trailers and little first looks and things like that. And I think, you know, him saying that I want to take one last look at my friends seems very obviously, you know, to indicate that something's going to happen to him. But it almost seems so obvious that it could be misdirection. But at this point, I really don't think so. And I'm pretty sure Anthony Daniels himself has announced that he's not playing the character anymore.
Yeah. Well, so, he's old, too.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, he still can talk and do a voice if need be, but if he just doesn't want to do it, then what other recourse is there?
Yeah, well, I think after this movie, they're going, you know, in the different direction of they're getting away from the Skywalker, and they're going to explore other things, which is fine. But, yeah, I don't see him doing it anymore. What's your other prediction?
Oh, the one I want to happen?
But it's not going to, yes.
I've been harboring this since 1996.
96.
I just want to see Dash Rendar in some form.
I think he dies, though, doesn't he? Or they leave it open-ended in the book. I remember that.
It's just like everybody else who, quote-unquote, dies, and maybe they do, maybe they don't.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's something like that is more likely on, like, The Mandalorian.
Right.
But, you know, just give me some Shadows of the Empire thing.
Or even, like, the Prince Shizor, like his race or something would be cool too, because they're like these cunning, manipulative weirdos that are criminals, and that would be cool just even to see something like that.
Definitely. Yeah.
But I think of all my non-canon things, I think Shadows of the Empire was one of my favorite. You know? I mean, it had such a great tie-in with, you know, the comics, the video game, the book, the toys. I still have the Shadows of the Empire toys.
Yeah.
And they explained how Leia got the Boosh outfit. You know, to be the bounty hunter who opposes Boosh, you know, it was pretty good. That would be cool. I'd be down with that.
Oh, they do, I think, on The Mandalorian, just as an aside, I think there's it looked to be, anyway, in the third episode, there was a little, like, he shoots an attacking bounty hunter who looks, basically, what appears to me to look identical to Boosh.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, yeah, isn't that, it's like an alien race that has to wear that helmet or something. Is that the backstory? I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't either.
Yeah, it's something like that.
But it makes sense.
Well, speaking of the Mandalorian, I think the third one was the best one so far.
I think so too.
I mean, that was just great.
That was the peak.
With those Mandalorians at the end coming to back him up was absolutely just the best. Anyway, so, well, you know, talking about, you said it was the end of the line for C-3PO and R2-D2. One of the theories that I've heard is that R2-D2 and C-3PO, the reason why they've been in every single main saga movie, actually they did show up in Rogue One. They didn't show up in Solo, though. Did they? I don't think they did.
No.
But no, they did show up for a second in Rogue One, because, you know, he was on Captain Antilles' Corvette. Yeah. Anyway, one of the...
That's true.
Yeah, so he... Well, yeah, even for, like, the 2 seconds, like, I don't know what's going on. Very C-3PO-like. well, one of the theories I heard is that they were actually sent by the so-called Wills to chronicle the events of the galaxy, which is why he shows up. And apparently... I'm not sure if this was just a prediction or if it was one of George Lucas's original ideas, was that R2-D2 was going to return to the Wills and show them the recording of what happened, and they were going to put it in their journal. Because what really happened, you know, his first iteration of this was that you were basically being told the story of the Star Wars from the Journal of the Wills. And
right.
Which I thought the Journal of the Wills was going to show up in The Last Jedi when you see all those ancient texts there. So to give you a little background... The Wills are supposedly like these all-powerful beings that are kind of like the Watchers, like from the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Where they look at all these events happening in the galaxy. They're like the gods of the Force, basically. So they're basically like the deities of this galaxy.
Good thing Disney owns them both now.
Yeah, I know, right? So they could tie that in. Like, all of a sudden, Iron Man shows up from the Time Vortex, and then, you know, he's... Whatever. God, that would... So, you know,
that don't actually, do that.
It was really funny because... I'll side note on the show Parks and Recreation, starring Amy Poehler, Patton Oswalt plays a role in one of the episodes where they want to like rewrite all these like, you know, ancient town laws or whatever. And he goes there to filibuster against it because he's like basically like a nerdy nobody that, you know, has no friends or whatever.
Right.
He does this huge monologue about what he wants to see in the Star Wars trilogy. And at one point they go back, or the new one, because this is right around the time they announced it with, you know, J.J. Abrams doing his Force Awakens. He talks about how it like they kind of cut away to something else and they come back and he's like still doing this monologue. And he's talking about how, and that is how the Marvel Universe will intersect with the Star Wars Universe. You know, so he does this whole thing where he wants that to happen or something, which is obviously absurd and he wouldn't want to because he's actually a really diehard Star Wars fan too. But anyway.
there's a precedent for it.
Right, there is a precedent for this. So anyway, like the original Star Wars was, you're reading the Journal of the Wills. It was called like, you know, from the Chronicles of Mace Windu, the Journal of the Wills or whatever. And so, like, the whole story that you're seeing was chronicled by these all-powerful beings that controlled the Force, and you're basically just seeing the story out of their journal, and R2-D2 is the one that was sent by them to chronicle what was going on, and he came back and reported to him. So when you're saying that it's going to be the end of them, that could very well be part of what's going on, is
yeah.
that he returns and shows them the history of the galaxy for these last 40 years or whatever. So that kind of ties into one of the big things that I want to see in this movie is I want more of an explanation on not so much like maybe here and there some intricacies of the Force, but more so like where these Jedi come from.
Yeah.
You know, where did they start and where did they go astray? Because we know, you know, canonically, is that a word?
Canonically,
there you go. I just did the wrong syllable. Anyway, we know that basically they strayed off the path, and which is what led to their downfall. And one of the characters that recognizes the most was actually Qui-Gon Jinn, who once again turns out to be this great freaking character that no one's talking about anymore. There was a book that came out, I believe it was in May, it was called Master and Apprentice, and it actually went back to the early relationship of Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn. And you come to find out that Qui-Gon Jinn is actually offered a seat on the council. And you're like, what? Because like in The Phantom Menace, he basically butts heads with the
council. He's the rebel.
He's the rebel Jedi, right? But the problem is that he's not a rebel Jedi. He's a rebel Jedi to the council and to the Jedi Order, but not to the Force.
Right.
And he explains in there, you know, like, oh, I don't follow the light side because of blah, blah, blah. He's like, I follow it because it's the light. Like, it's the good. You know, it's what's it supposed to be.
Right.
So I want them to show how the Jedi were flawed.
Right.
And what happened. Like, I want them, because, like, even if you look in the movie in The Last Jedi, you can see on the temple floor when he's talking to Rey about Darth Sidious and, you know, he was able to take over, there's like a etching of like a creature, and they think it's the Prime Jedi, so like the first Jedi, who suspiciously looks like Snoke also. So they were thinking that like Snoke was like one of these ancient Jedi, which kind of makes sense, but like it's weird because he's evil, you know, so like he was a dark side guy, so I'm not really sure how that's going to tie in. But I would like them to kind of go into, okay, this is how the Jedi first came to be, and this is where they lost their way, and this is how you have to get it back on track. And I think that's what I ultimately want to see when it comes with, you know, to the Jedi and the Force.
Yeah, it would definitely give a lot of the stuff that we did see more meaning, more interest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've long championed Qui-Gon Jinn as a character,
yep,
as pretty much being the only thing, besides maybe Darth Maul,
right,
from the prequel trilogy, certainly The Phantom Menace, that I ever really liked. And, yeah, for 20 years, they've been leaving all of Qui-Gon's, you know, story kind of on the table.
Yeah, they did do a little bit more in the Clone Wars cartoon, because they show how Qui-Gon comes back from the, they call it the nether world of the Force, to,
right,
he communicates with Yoda. And Yoda at first is kind of like, am I just hearing voices in my head?
Yeah.
You're the most powerful Jedi Master, is going like, what the fuck just happened? Because he's like, you know, Jedi, when they die, they don't maintain their identity. They become one with the Force and that's it. But it's Qui-Gon Jinn talking to him, and he's like, no, it's Qui-Gon. And he's like, what did you do, Qui-Gon? So he goes on this quest to learn how Qui-Gon did what he did. So they do kind of bring him back, but not really. It basically just shows you how they become Force ghosts.
Yeah, it's like, it's always been, well, he's the first guy to do that,
right,
so here's how. And like,
yeah,
okay, awesome, but there's so much more. There's got to be so much more to,
right,
this guy.
And I think the reason why he's the first one is because the Force is like, you know what, you're one of the only Jedi right now that gets it.
Right.
These other Jedi do not get it, and they're, you know, they decide to ally themselves with the Senate,
yep,
and do the will of the Senate. I mean, even in the first, In the title crawl of The Phantom Menace, you know, secretly, the Supreme Chancellor sends two Jedi Knights to go to Naboo, blah, blah, blah. So,
yep,
they basically, the Senate and the Chancellor say, hey, Jedi, can you do this thing for me? They're like, sure, and they do it.
Yeah.
So, it's like, they've already, like, it's kind of established that they didn't, you know, they strayed away. See, the thing, I always, you know, I will always argue that the overall idea and story of the prequel trilogies is great. It's the execution of it that sucked. And that's what made it so bad.
It's never, yeah, it's never been a case that there wasn't enough story, or that, like, there wasn't the right story. All of the points that you expect to be there are there. But, yeah, the way they do it.
Right.
Yeah, 100%.
It's the way they did it. It's, like we said before, the scope of the galaxy got way out of hand. I mean, I'm not saying that they needed to have a galaxy of 9 planets like ours is.
Right.
But thousands upon thousands of systems, like, that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you can't even wrap your mind around
it. I can't. I mean, we know the universe is never ending and bigger than we could possibly imagine, but like a galaxy that has, the, you know, I mean, I just,
yeah,
whatever. So yeah, I just hope that, like, in some way, because I mean, they've really been, like I said, they've been kind of throwing this, and you know, I'll even read something to you. The Journal of the Wills actually is canon, because in the beginning of the Force Awakens novelization, I believe Alan Dean Foster wrote it, who is a celebrated sci-fi author, as you know.
And has a Star Wars history.
Yeah, he does have a Splinter of the Mind's Eye. He actually wrote that book before the script to The Empire Strikes Back came out, which is why there's a weird sexual attraction between Luke and Leia in that movie. But anyway, so it's not the epilogue, but it's like, you know, in the beginning, they'll put a quote in, like if you're reading a novel, you know, Stephen King does it a lot. He puts,
yeah,
quotes in the front. Anyway, there's a quote in it, but it's from the Journal of the Wills, and this is what it says. It says, first comes the day, then comes the night. After the darkness shines through the light. The difference, they say, is only made right by the resolving of gray through refined Jedi sight. So that quote he puts in the beginning of The Force Awakens references by name gray.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at is the same thing. Like, you know, they've lost their way. They're not doing what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to look at these subtle shades of gray between right and wrong and refine it to do the right thing. You know, George Lucas said, when they talk about, you know, the prophecy of the Chosen One bringing balance to the Force, he said the balance of the Force would be the elimination of the Sith, so it's in harmony and good. But if you take the literal definition of balance, it's not, that's not
right.
What it is.
Yeah.
Balance is equal parts good, equal parts bad, that keep it at a level. So I think what they're kind of straying away from that and saying, look, nothing is completely right and nothing is completely wrong. Obviously, murdering someone's wrong. You shouldn't do that. Doing the will of the people and not the force, which is all powerful, is wrong, even though it might be good. You know what I mean? So I think what they're trying to say is that the Jedi are supposed to look at all of this stuff and make the decision
of
what the force wants to happen. You know, and I think that's what they really need to get at. Now, I don't know how they're going to do this with people riding on horses on the top of a starship and like thousands of Star Destroyers against a ragtag fleet. You know what I mean? I don't know what the frick they're doing, but I just want to see them get into the lore. And, you know, Rey has the books from the tree. She stole them before she left.
Yep.
If you didn't catch that, before Yoda lightning the tree and burned it down.
Right.
I don't know what that... whatever. Anyway, so she has them. So my guess is she reads the ancient texts and figures it out in some way, hopefully. But, you know, I just want it to be some kind of resolution between, like, who are these Jedi folk? I mean, they've always been the central part of the story.
Right. I mean, look, they've certainly got a tall order in the space of about 2.5 hours for this last chapter of the story here.
Yeah. And it's weird seeing all these scenes, too, because like you're talking about with C-3PO. It's like, well, what are they going to have him do?
Right.
Like, why does he have to go into a death machine and he's never coming back? Like, what is he doing? You know, I don't know. It's just like, you know, she's training in the beginning, I guess. Maybe I'm assuming that's where we open up, I think, is going to be her training.
Yeah.
And they're going to come back and get her. And she's going to be like, no, it's my fight. And they're like, no, we're in this together. Like, they showed that clip.
Can you think?
Lando.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I was going to think, can you think of a better use of C-3PO, though, than to become the voice of the verbal, the fining people for violating the verbal morality statute?
Yeah, exactly, right? He doesn't know how to use the three seashells. That's how Demolition Man ties in with the Star Wars trilogy.
Exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, some good things too. Though it's been confirmed that Dennis Lawson is back as Wedge.
Yep.
The character of Wedge shows up in the Aftermath trilogy, which we said sucked. Don't read it; it's worthless. We already told you the point to get out of it. But anyway, it just explains how the Empire eventually burned out and they went to the unknown regions to start the First Order. But anyway, so Wedge is in that, and he doesn't die, so it's great that he's still alive after all these years. So yeah, Lando's back, Wedge is back. I'm sure there's going to be some surprise characters in there that we didn't see. And like I said, I think there's going to be a lot of characters that have been in the cartoons that are going to show up
right.
for this, too. So I'm wondering how they're going to handle that with, like, live actors. And, you know, it's weird because, like, you know, these people do the voices. Like, Ashley Eckstein does Ahsoka, and I want to say Vanessa Marshall is the voice of Harrison Dula. So I'm wondering if they're going to put them in makeup and have the same voice, or they just do voiceover or CGI. I don't know. I mean, obviously, you've seen...
It'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool if they just... I mean, because we hear about all these characters, but you never see them in the screen, you know,
right.
movie screen. So.
The time is now, Disney. Now or never.
The time is now. That's enough of that.
We shall see. That'll bring this episode of the Nerd Bomber Podcast to a close. I have been your friend, Claude.
And I've been cousin, Adam.
We'll see you at the movies.
The Nerd Bomber Podcast is a Ghost Factory Internet production brought to you by the WHAM Network.